What a powerful spirit of the Lord in this place tonight. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 3. To our guests, we welcome you this evening. Thank you for coming and being with us. We pray the Lord has already touched you and will continue to do so, that his word will be a blessing to you here this evening. We welcome you to our Sunday service, which begins Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Adult right here in the main auditorium. Children's classes are scattered out through the campus. And then the main service begins at 11. So we hope that you'll come back and be with us and worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us on Sunday as well. So we encourage all of the wonderful saints of the Lord to come and join us at Pastor's house. If you don't know how to get there, find somebody near you. They'll tell you. And we're just going to have a great time. Sister Scott and her team always prepare the food so well. And I can't wait to get into that roasted pig. That's going to be good. Along with everything else. You don't like pig? Well, bring some filet mignon and then you'll eat that too. Bring something on in there. Be sure we have some peach cobbler. Look at that list. If peach cobbler's not on it, put your name down for it if you know how to make it. Wouldn't hurt to have a little blueberry cobbler, some banana pudding. Maybe we get Steve Hansen to make some banana pudding. If you hadn't had some of Steve Hansen's banana pudding, you hadn't ate no banana pudding. Is he back there? I don't see him. He's out? Okay. He can. I think he made his very first banana pudding for me, if I'm not mistaken. He was just trying it out. And I fell in love with him that day. And he's been a brother in Christ ever since. So we're just going to have a great time. We're going to have our music's going to be there. We're going to sing some Christmas songs. We're going to talk about the Christmas, the coming of Christ, and just going to have a wonderful time. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 3. Commit thy works. Everybody say discipline. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to be disciplined. Now, I know a few of y'all would probably like to be the ones to do the discipline, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about discipline ourselves, to be disciplined. Commit thy works unto the Lord. And look at the second half of this verse, because this is what we talked about last Wednesday night. And I do encourage you, if you weren't here last Wednesday, I encourage you to go to the website, topwpb.org. Tabernacle of Pentecost, West Palm Beach, .org, and listen to Wednesday night's podcast on As a Man Thinks, concerning our thoughts. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. What a life-changing experience if all of us in this place could actually bring our thoughts under control and focus them on the things of God and what God wants us to do in his kingdom. It would be life-changing. I know I wouldn't make all the mistakes I make. And I wouldn't have to be apologizing as often as I find myself apologizing. Anybody apologize this week to somebody? Anybody needed to apologize this week to somebody? You just hadn't done it right and got it right? Okay. The other half raised their hand on that one. All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to help me tonight to teach the word of God. Lord, that it will go forth that it would get a hold of our hearts and our spirits. Let our hearts become a fertile ground, that the word of God, the seed of God, would be planted and begin to take root and grow in us and change us forever. Lord, we need you. We need the instruction of your word. We need the correction of your word. Father, help us and strengthen us tonight. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone say amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. So last Wednesday, we talked a little bit about the thinking as a man thinketh. And we talked about how we think and the things that we allow our minds to be stayed upon, to focus upon. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we learned last week that when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about the emotions of man. It is talking about the area in which we think and we conjure up ideas and thoughts, which affect our emotion, affects our belief system. It affects every part of us. And so the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence. We didn't deal a lot with this, and I'm not going to stay on it tonight either, but I do want to say again this evening that it is important what we allow to go into our hearts. And listen, we are the keeper of our heart. My brother is not the keeper of my heart. I am the keeper of my heart. I believe that there is extra grace if I am exposed to something involuntarily. If something gets to my eyes and my ears and into my mind and into my spirit, and it was not voluntary, it was presented before me, there was nothing I could do about it at the moment, words that I might hear, a sight that I might see, etc. I believe that there is extra grace that comes upon me for that, to deal with those situations. But I want to tell you, you tear down the layers of grace when you voluntarily expose yourself to things that you know you should not be thinking on, you should not be viewing, you should not be hearing, you should not be entertaining, you should not be reading, and the list just go on and on. Can I hear an amen? Now, I know it's tough to get an amen out in that area because that's where most of us live. We battle every day, Brother Spears, we battle every day with things in our heart and our mind and our spirit that we put there, that we allowed to get in there. Dear Lord, if I get warmed up on this, I'll never get anywhere else. And then we have to come into a service like this here tonight, and the precious man of God lead us into worship. And what are most of us doing during this time of the flood of the Spirit is we are letting God cleanse us from many things that we voluntarily allowed to get in our heart and get in our spirit. How much deeper could we get in God if we would guard our hearts, if we would watch over our hearts, and then we come to a service like this tonight and the power of God begins to move instead of spending all of our time trying to get the junk out? God could lift us up into an area of revelation that you and I have never experienced. So we have to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We could teach weeks just on that one verse. Out of it are the issues of life. Most of the situations and troubles and problems and dilemmas and all of the above flows out, the issues of life flow out of me from what I allow to come into me. When the Bible, we discuss that when the Bible's talking about the thinking of man or its heart, it's dealing with the thinking of man, the will of man, the emotions of man, the feelings of man, the conscience of man. Philippians 4 and 8, Paul would not have said this if we did not have power over our thoughts. Look at your neighbor and say, you have power over your thoughts. Now, I know things are going to come to you, and Satan can certainly speak. He cannot read your mind, but he can read you, and he's learned you pretty good. And he can put things in your mind, good, bad. Well, he won't put good, but he might make it look, might make you think it's good. And he'll put things in your mind, and it may come into my mind, but I don't have to dwell on it. I don't, it's the old saying, you know, I can't do anything about a bird flying over my head, but I got a lot to say about him building a nest. So the Bible tells us in Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Now listen, I cannot tell you that, well, I guess I can tell you because I'm fixing to. That most of the situations that I deal with as a pastor in talking to precious brothers and sisters in Christ in helping is because we choose to dwell on things that are not in this list. When someone hurts us, we choose to dwell on it until we get justified. And it's the opposite of the Word of God. Tell your neighbor, didn't Pastor beat us up over this last week? We're just starting to heal up. That's all right. I'm only reviewing tonight, so I won't stay here very long. But we choose to think about and focus on things that put bitterness and pain and hurt and anger inside of us. And we choose to dwell on them when our thoughts can do nothing about it. So Paul says, listen, finally, brethren, look, when it's all said and done, he said, this is where it's at. That whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, why don't you think on these? Because it'll change everything about you. And I'm just here to tell you, I'm here to tell us, like it is tonight, if I'll change, eventually my situation will change. I know we don't want to admit it, and I also know that there are exceptions, but for the most part, even when things come to us that are bad, that we had no control over it, it lingers in our life because we allow it to linger for what we dwell on and how we handle it. You're sitting here in this room tonight in pain in your heart because of what you have decided you are going to think about. Boy, we didn't like that, did we? My belt's still on. I got news for you. It's not my belt whooping you. Us. Whooping us. The Lord wants us to learn to think on things that are pure and true and holy and righteous and virtue. Because dwelling in the negative and focusing upon the negative and focusing upon the pain is not going to fix it. It's not going to change it. God is going to fix it and he is going to change it when he gets good and ready to make it happen. So in the meantime, he says, focus on me, concentrate on me, think on my word, think on the promises of my word, think about the things that I have done you. Is anyone here tonight been blessed by the Lord? How about this week? I had a testimony given to me before service, and a sister came up to me and said, Pastor, you need to teach on tithing and giving and offering more often. You don't teach on it enough because people are blessed when they give. And she said, I've been so blessed this year. And she said, just yesterday, my boss came in and started talking to us about working on Sunday. And I raised my hand and said, I will not work on a Sunday. I go to church on Sunday and I teach Sunday school and that's final. I will not go to church on Sunday. Okay. We'll go. I'm work on Sunday. I'm sorry. Y'all know what I meant. And then he comes back in the very next day and he says, Sister so-and-so, you have done such a great job around here. I'm going to give you a raise. So, what do you make? And she gives the amount that she makes. He says, I'm going to give you a $3,000 raise. And then she went back in. Pastor, you can't outgive God. We need to teach you on giving. Our people need to learn how to give. If they don't have anything, then give out of their nothing. Think on these things. Now, listen. I'm probably not going to get to my subject. Tonight I want to talk about discipline, but I'll never get to it. There's something that you and I touched on this, but I needed to stay on it longer, and the Lord really dealt with me about it today, so I want to talk about it a little bit. God's thoughts are not like our thoughts. And God's ways are not like our ways. We know the scripture, Isaiah 58:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, not only are his thoughts higher than our thoughts, but his ways are higher than our ways. That means with my low thoughts and my low ways, I'm going to get low results. But if somehow I can learn to think like him, the Bible says, let this mind which was in Christ also be in you. That if I can somehow, through the Word of God, start changing the way that I think. And I'm not talking about positive thinking, changing things. I'm talking about word thinking. Changing things. Word thinking can do it. And not only his thoughts higher than us, but his ways are higher than us. And if we can get to where we begin to think like him and we respond the way that he would respond in certain circumstances, and we're going to look at that in the Word of God in a moment. If we can get his thoughts, we'll get his ways. My Lord, have mercy. I'm tired of my ways. I'm tired of my results. I'm tired of where I'm at. I want his ways. I want his results. But the only way to get his way is to get his thoughts. I got to think like he thinks. I've got to get in the book and I've got to look at my situation and I've got to say, how does the word address what has happened to me? And I have got to think the way he thinks. As heaven is higher than earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now listen, I want you to hear what I am about to say, because the Holy Ghost spoke this into my heart. You will never have true peace until you learn to think like God. As long as we think our way and we respond to things our way, then we're going to deal with our anger. We're going to deal with our strife, we're going to deal with our bitterness, we're going to have to deal with all of these things, Sister Legist, in our heart, mind, and spirit. And the good Lord knows every one of us from the pulpit to the back of this building's got enough of all that stuff. We will never have true peace. Ooh, man, I am upsetting some devils tonight. I thank you, Brother Sapp. It's a good thing we touched God earlier, because I'm touching the devil right now. If I can get this down inside of your heart, if you can get a hold of this, it'll change you. It'll change your life, your family. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your children. It'll change everything about you, and then everything around you will begin to change. It's not an overnight fix. It's a lifetime journey. We have to learn to think like God. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, I mentioned it earlier. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. And by the way, you should go read the verses before that verse and have time for all of that tonight. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Matthew 5:43 says, now watch this. This is how we think. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. That's human thinking. Do good to those who do good to you and avoid those who do not. Or say, when something goes wrong with them, they got just what they deserved. You know what? They probably did, but it's not your place to think it. Now look how God thinks. I want to help us a little bit. Because we're full of the Holy Ghost. We have God's power on the inside of us. And we're trying to figure out why we do not have peace. Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives. He says, the peace that I give you, he said, it'll always be with you. I'll never take my peace from you. The peace of the world is, or the joy or the peace, or however you want to look at it, it's fickle. It's temporal. One day they're happy, and the next day that they're not. Why? Because their peace or their joy was based on the temporal, based on the telestial. Is that earth? Celestial's up there and telestial's down here, right? Based on the mortal, and it can change at any moment. And when the circumstance change or the environment change, their peace changes and their joy changes because it's based on the wrong things. But if we can learn to get our thoughts and think like God and react like God and respond like God, we won't lose our peace. I mean, I hate to say it, but most Christians walk in this world just as fickle and up and down as the world. I really didn't mean to be this mean tonight, but you don't have to hang around one of us very long to know what I'm saying is true. I mean, one day we're happy, the next day we're depressed. One day we're full of joy, the next day we're full of anger. But we're not supposed to be that way because we're supposed to think like God thinks. But the problem is we put so much of the world in our brain as we think like the world thinks, and we try to justify like the world justifies. We try to fix our problems like the world fixes their problems through revenge and justification. And so we become just as up and down and crazy as the world. Rather being able to walk in the strength of God. We literally, some of us literally bathe ourselves in our own sorrow. And you say, Pastor, you haven't been what I've been through. You haven't walked in my shoes. You don't know where I've been or what I've been through. And I guarantee you, I've got just as many horror stories as you have growing up. This is how God thinks. But I say unto ye which hear. So Matthew said, it's been said to you, love your neighbor but hate your enemy. But Jesus says, no. Think like I think. And I say unto you, which can hear, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. What is God trying to teach us? How to get a peace in your heart that the devil can't take away and the world can't take it away and circumstances can't take it away. If I learn to love my enemy and I learn to do good to those who do bad to me, then it doesn't matter what they do to me. It doesn't matter how much they hate me. I've learned to love them. I got a neighbor. He's an Orthodox Russian, whatever that is, Christian thing. And a while back, there was a man that went to a little private school, an Amish school. And he kidnapped one of the girls. And abused her over and over and over and over and over. And then he killed her. And so the news was interviewing this Amish man who does not have the Holy Ghost like we do. But he does have the Word. They interviewed him, and they said, basically were saying, what are your feelings towards this man? And he says, I love him through Christ. There is nothing he can do to me or my family that will rob me of the love of God. And my neighbor, who's an Orthodox Jew, we were talking one day after all this had come out on the news, and he brought that subject up. I didn't even realize the person had said that. He brought that up, and he said, I was watching that on the news. And when I heard that, when the news was talking about the situation, I was sitting there in my mind and I was saying, if that was my daughter, I would find him. I would kill him. I would. And he started saying, in my mind, I was mutilating this man. I was torturing this man. I was doing everything I could to him. And then when I heard the words from this father, who he said, you could tell he meant every word he said. When I heard his words, I stopped and said, there is a real Christian. And I'm thinking, he can see it. He can figure it out. I have a question for the United Pentecostal Church of West Palm Beach tonight. Will the real Christians please stand up? I know this is a hard subject that I'm teaching on tonight, but I'm telling you, it will help us if we will let it. But I say unto you here, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despisefully use you. When you stop and tear these scriptures apart, if we can stop and not just read through them, but really look at what's being said here. Your enemies, those that hate you, those that curse you, those that have despitefully used you. And then he goes on to say, and unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer him the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take away thy coat. He doesn't stop. Give unto every man that ask of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. We can go back through these scriptures, and I promise you, every single one of us can find someone that's done something to us that fit inside of these categories. And if we'll stop and think about it, we'll realize that the real pain wasn't what they did to us. The real pain was how we responded. The real pain was when we focused on it, when we stayed on it, when we thought on it like the world thinks on it and not like God thinks on it. It robs us of our joy. It robs us of our peace. It's like Jesus is saying, don't sit there and figure out how you can get back what was stolen from you. It wasn't yours in the first place. I gave it to you anyhow, and I can bless you sevenfold. Leave it alone. Instead, bless them. Instead, pray for them and watch what I'll do in your life, and watch how you will keep your joy and keep your peace. I'm telling you, this would change our lives if we would somehow let this get a hold of us, because I know the pain in my heart is when I dwell on things that I really have no business thinking about, things that people said, things that people did. We conjure up all kinds of thoughts. We conjure up all kinds of scenarios. We come about all kinds of ways of justification. None of them ever come about. In fact, then we get angry when we are not justified. When Jesus said, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. Leave it alone and put it in my hands and see what I'll do about it. But in the meantime, you pray for them. In the meantime, you bless them. In the meantime, you help them. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. You know, the only thing that we do when we think like the world thinks and we respond like the world responds is we take their hatred, we take their sin, their vengeance, their ungodliness, and we bring it into us, and we bring it into our home, and we bring it into our marriage. And then we taint our children with it. And I'm gonna tell you something I've noticed. You know, you and I, Brother Luma, we can do something, but we're mature, we're grown, we're older. So we can realize a mistake and we can fix it, we can get over it and go back right. But when you touch your kids with it, they can't comprehend it, they can't assimilate it, they can't get it through this thing right. And many times it'll do something to their spirit, something to their heart. We bring this stuff into our lives. God said, don't do that. Don't think like the world thinks. Think like I think. If you'll think like I think, God says, if you'll respond the way I respond, if you'll react the way I tell you how to react, you'll never lose your peace. You'll never lose your joy. You'll stay strong, even though all kinds of things will come against you. You will stay strong and you will keep your peace. So that's how God thinks. We continue now. He goes to verse number 32. Look at Luke 6 and 32. Now, this is how we think. So he spends time saying, this is how I think. I say, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. If they smite you on the right, give them the left. If they take something from you, don't forbid. If they take your boat, dear Lord, find your boat and give them the paddles. And then he goes on to say, and to every man give if they ask, and don't ask back of them. And as you would want men to treat you, treat them. And then he goes straight to verse number 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love them. So now he's talking about how we think. Love those who love you. And if you do good to them who do good to you, what have ye? For sinners do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive also much again. So he deals with how we think for a little while, and then he goes back to how he thinks again. He says, but again, I want to tell you, love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping nothing again, and your reward shall be great. He,
He's not saying just do this because it's what I want you to do. He's saying if you will think like I think, if you'll let this get in your brain and get in your heart, and if you'll respond to life the way I teach you to respond to life, your reward will be great.
Greater than anything that you could have hoped to have gained back through revenge. Greater than anything that you may have done by trying to go back and take back what you had and what was taken from you, and then maybe even sue them for a little bit more. Love your enemies and do good. Lend, hope nothing again and regain. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Paul said it like this in 12 and 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and not curse, he said. And verse number 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things that are honest in the sight of all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The reason why we walk around with so much pain is because we try to reap our own vengeance. And the only thing that you get by trying to reap your own vengeance is you poison yourself with their evil. And we have all learned in life, every one of us have learned in life, that you will never satisfy your taste of vengeance. Because we've all tried it. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. And you go, okay, now we're talking. Now we're talking. But that's not what it means. Not what it means at all. Paul is saying you will bless him. You will help him. And you have to read the background and the history and all that stuff concerning the coals of fire. But I used to feel it was the bad way. But it's not. It's a good way. Now look at verse number 21. Here it is. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is what God wants from us. There is no one in this building that needs more of the grace and the mercy of God than me. I know you feel the same, but that's okay. You have a right to be wrong. I need the grace and the mercy of God in my life. Every day, I fail him every day. You say, well, you're a bad little boy, Pastor. I think I'm a pretty good little rat, actually. I don't do too bad. But I promise you, I fail him every day. Because I live in an evil, ungodly world. And I battle it every single day. But I lose my peace and my joy because I don't think like God thinks. He teaches us how to, and that's just a few of them. He teaches us in His Word how to handle things that come our way. And if we handle them differently, we will suffer. We will lose our joy. We will lose our peace. We will get into a fight. And the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spirits of darkness, high places. But me and you, we haven't stopped wrestling in the flesh long enough to get a grip on what's really going on in our life. And if the devil can get us wrapped up in wrestling in the flesh, then he'll take everything from us without having to do anything. But if we'll realize, Sister Nikki, that he's not my problem, that good-looking man next to you in the orange shirt, he's not my problem. You look at him and say, the devil made him do it. Of course, that's not true either, but if the devil could make you do it, we'd all be doing it. All right, don't have time to go there. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And if we'll learn that, I'm closing. If we'll learn that and get in the Word of God and make it an appoint for each one of us to get in this Word and look at how God wants me to respond to circumstances in my life. And no matter how much it goes against your grain, because it will. It will eat you alive to bake that person an upside down pineapple cake. Now, if I get an upside down pineapple cake tomorrow, I'm gonna think some things here. It won't be easy to do good to those who despitefully use you. But because it's his word, not just because your action, do you understand this? Not just because you're doing something based on the word of God, and that's what brings results. Because it is his word, a supernatural peace, not a peace that the world can give you. Not a peace that even your deed or action can give you, but a supernatural peace will come to you, and you will no longer be tormented by that person. Because they go to bed at night. They don't even think about you. You're the one that thinks about it, because we're not doing it God's way. If we can get a hold of this as the saints of God, as God's kids, it will change our lives. And it will put a joy in us. I don't mean bad things aren't going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. But how we respond to them, it's what makes all the difference in our life and in our walk with God. I want to get my joy back. I want to get my peace back. Let's stand. I know you feel like I feel. I'm tired of letting circumstances of life rob me of my peace and joy with Christ. And the Lord says to you tonight, the only way you will ever have peace is if you learn to think like God thinks. And when we begin to think like God thinks, let that mind which was in Christ. Lord, remember me when you receive your kingdom. This day, this man was a thief, a robber, a killer. If he would not have been nailed to the cross, Jesus knows he would have been in the front line to crucify him. He knows that that man right there would have been one of the main ones to help crucify him. And he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. What would happen, Brother Rohan, if we started blessing those that cursed us? Giving to those who stole from us. It's hard to keep a bad spirit when you're being charitable. I mean, unless you put something in the cookie. I'm talking about a good gift. And you give to the person that you know did you wrong. That word says you will break the yoke of the power of that thing on you because you're thinking like God thinks. You got his mind. Praise God. It's 8:30. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front, but we are going to spend a moment. We're going to just pray and ask the Lord to touch us and help us concerning this word here tonight. Let's close our eyes. Father, we come to you right now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, you see us. You see us across this congregation, God. You know our hearts. You prepared this word tonight for us. Lord, there are some that are hurting so much more than others. Lord God, whether it is choices we've made or whether it's things that were, God, beyond our ability to control that's come against us, either way, Father, it brings pain. But Lord, when we think like the world thinks,